All right. Good morning. God bless each of you. It's nice to be here. You know, I used to attend Heather Bible Chapel in the 70s. Can you hear me? Yeah, in the 70s until I went down to Miami in 1979. But my name's Glenn. I got three names. They call me Glenn. My nephews and nieces call me Uncle G and many others. And the kids at the juvenile center that I attend, they call me Pastor Glenn. So you can call me whatever you want. Yes. You know, many of you maybe don't know me. I was here in the early 70s, and some great memories. You know, many people have passed away into glory, and yet it's nice to see you and just... moving on. I want to thank you for the gifts and the letters received recently. It's just a blessing. So I've been living in Miami actually 47 years. I left in 1979, and I've actually been with Youth for Christ actually 43 years, which is hard to believe. But it's been a great 43 years. I've had opportunity to minister to teenagers that are abused, arrested, abandoned, and also ones that are arrested. And my focus right now is the ones that are arrested. I go into the juvenile, and we share the gospel with kids that have been involved in major crimes, murder, carjacking, crime, drugs, you name it. And we share the good news. It's the only thing that's going to transform their lives. The only thing. So I just thank God for the privilege that I've had to go in. I'm thankful for God and for His calling in my life. I became a believer at 10 years old. My mother... I became a believer at 30, and she told me about Jesus starting the age of 5. And I heard the message over and over and over. At 10 years old, I called her to my bed, and I said, I want to get saved. I want to be able to go to heaven. So she shared John 3:16 with me. It's my favorite verse. And she'd always share like this, for God so loved Glenn, that He gave His one and only Son for Glenn, that if Glenn believes in Him, Glenn won't perish, but Glenn will have eternal life. And I remember that night, I was, how do I do this? And I remember struggling, and I remember I just wanted to make that decision. Nothing else mattered that night. And I made that decision. And I often share this at the juvenile center about my experience. And one time I was sharing that night how I wanted to make that decision. And I said to the group, I said, I don't know if you wanted to make a decision, but I wanted that night. And I had a young man in the third row that says, I want to do it. I said, okay, we'll lead you. We'll help you learn more about how to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. So it's been great. I always challenge them to make a decision. We do a number of things, which I'll share in a moment. This morning I was, and the last little while I've been thinking about my life and God's calling on it. And, you know, the fact that He knew us before we were in our mother's womb. Amazing. You know, this thing about abortion, everything? No. He knew us in our mother's womb. And I just want to look at Psalms 139. And I've been thinking about this. 13. For You have created my inmost being. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I'll praise You because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I knew them full well. My frame was not hidden from You. When I was made in the secret place, When I was woven together in the depth of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. Amazing. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came. And it's a wonderful thought that God knew me before I was in my mother's womb. He knew me in my mother's womb. And he had plans for me. There were plans for my life. And it's a great, great blessing just to think that through. And how he's got a calling. He's got a calling on all of our lives. He's got plans for you. It's just to build a relationship with him. And desire his will. And he'll lead and guide you. So I rejoice that I embraced the Lord at a very young age. Also, I was recently thinking about Romans 8. I've been studying Romans. And there's two verses that bring a lot of peace to me. And it's one of them is Romans 8:1. It says, therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. It's a wonderful thing to know that the moment you trust Christ, that's it. Your sins are forgiven. There's no more condemnation. It's all cleared up. Sins are forgiven. What a joy. There's no condemnation. And then another verse in 8, starting at, just a moment here. Just a second here. Where is it? Okay. Talking about the love of the Lord. Let's start in 21. What shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for all of us, how will we not also with him graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against us? Who? No. Against those who are chosen. It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is interceding for us. And this is the verse that is so sweet. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Who? No one. Wonderful thought. The moment you trust Christ, you know what? Nobody is going to separate you from his love. He will continue to love you and love you. Number 37 says, no, in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, nor the present, nor the future, nor the power, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What a wonderful thing to meditate on those two verses. No condemnation, no separation. He knew me before I was in my mother's womb, and he has plans for me. So it's just a joy knowing the Lord. I want to just continue right now on my story. Actually, I was becoming, like I said, a believer at 10. And then my teenage came, and you know, I always involved in the church, had my ups and downs as a teenager, but you know, God was good. And yeah, so that was my teens. And then my 20s, you know, I remember early 20s, I was kind of depressed and I was really struggling. And my sister, who's a sweetheart, she's younger than me and she was growing spiritually. And she used to talk to me and she says, you need a daily relationship with the Lord. So I remember hearing that. And then in my early 20s, I really took hold to choose to daily have that relationship and to sense his presence. It's so important every day to do that. The enemy wants to rob your joy. Oh yeah. Every day. So you need to focus on the Lord. Hear his word and get something for the day. I love to get something for the day and then leave my condo full of joy. I want joy in my heart as I leave. And be able to share with others and encourage others. So, so in my early 20s, I call them my boot camp years. God was working on my character. I did accounting for a while. I worked with my father, who's a painting contractor, and I worked hard. He made me work hard, which was great. I needed to work hard and learn to work hard. But as I was working, I wasn't enjoying it. I don't know if you've ever been involved in something and you're like, I don't know, I'm not enjoying this. I said, Lord, there's got to be something else for me. And my heart was moving towards wanting to help people, counsel people. And I had a heart for people that were troubled. And so in 76, I had the opportunity to go down to Bolivia with a missionary, Frank Haggerty. Some of you, very few would remember him, but he took me down to Bolivia. But before we went to Bolivia, we went to Miami. And that was the first time I'd ever been to Miami. And we went to an assembly and I met some people back in 1976. And I'm involved in that assembly right now. And there's people that I know for 50 years now that I met in 1976. But I went down, I met people. I came back from my Bolivia to Vancouver, started working with my father. And I go again, this is not for me. So I turned 30 and I decided, okay, I want to go to Bible school. I learned about a Bible school down in California. I was going to go down there, and then I had these friends in Miami. I would go down, like I went in 76 and 77, 78. I would go down sometimes during the winter just to get away from our miserable rain here and get some sun. So I would continue to go down. I made these friendships and they told me about Miami Christian College, and they had a one-year Bible course. So in 1979, in July, actually 47 years ago, I headed down to Miami, and I was going to go for 1 year to the Bible school. That was it. And they also offered psychology and counseling, and my thought was, I want to take that. I want to be able to be a counselor. I want to be able to help people. And it was Christian college, so it was great. I ended up staying 4 years. Took my got my degree, and my last semester, I wanted to work with Youth of Christ, volunteer. You know, I saw this gentleman called Gary Brown, and he was working with inner city kids, and I thought, oh, that'd be kind of cool to be able to do that, but never ever thinking I'd be able to do that. No, I never thought, you know, was brought up, you know, quite sheltered, nothing wrong with that, but I volunteered, and, you know, I enjoyed it, and helping with these teenagers and everything. So after that, I graduated in May 1983, and my thought was, now what? You ever been there? Now what? And I said, Lord, I don't know. And so this Gary Brown told me about some opportunities at Youth for Christ that I could get involved with. And so I prayed about it, and I thought, you know, I don't know if I can relate with these kids. You know, a lot of them are involved in crime and drugs and stuff. And so I said to Gary, I don't know, maybe I won't be able to relate to them. And this is what he said to me, and I'll never, never forget it. Can you build a relationship with a kid? I said, yes. This is for you. I'll never forget it. And I said, the Lord, okay, here I go. And I started in 1983. It's been an amazing, amazing journey. Working with, mainly right now, arrested kids. I say this very humbly, but I think I've talked to over 130,000 teenagers in the years, sharing the gospel. There's nothing like sharing the gospel, the good news. And so I'm just going to share a few teenagers who are adults now. Some kids that are now in their 50s, okay? Are not, one is in his 50s, the other one's 36. But when I used to come, I used to talk about a family. Joanne would remember Richard, Walter, and Angelo. There was a family that I worked with a number of years ago, and, you know, try to encourage them to trust the Lord, and it was really a tough one. But Richard, I met when he was 14. He's 53 right now. And so at 14, he made a decision for the Lord because they wanted to charge him as an adult. And so they wanted to send him away, but he just went to a short program. So the person that led him to the Lord said to me, you know, he's living near your church. You think you can pick him up? So I started picking him up and building a relationship with Richard. Again, his brothers were out there robbing and stealing. His father was a drug dealer. It was an amazing home, you know, the stuff that was carrying on in that home. And so Richard had the ups and downs, you know. He truly, truly was saved, but he was often tempted and got involved in stuff. And I said, Richard, listen, you can't be involved in that stuff. You want to go back to Jewy? You know, you can't. So, you know, I would challenge him, and so he was doing well. Again, Angelo, the other brother, you know, there was Walter and Angelo. Angelo, I was also ministering to him, and I'll never forget, I sensed he was interested in spiritual things, and I came up here one summer, and then I went back to Miami, and then all of a sudden I hear, so I call, and Walter answered the phone. I said, can you pick me up, Walter? Yeah, from the airport, yeah. And he picks me up in a Camaro. Where'd you get this Camaro? Oh, my father bought it. And then Angela has a Mercedes. What? And sooner or later, I found out that he had done a home invasion. He got word that where there was some drug money. And he and some friends, Richard didn't get involved in this, but he and his friends went in and they got $250,000. And I remember, wow, this is amazing. This is amazing. But, you know, Angelo, you know, you get involved in that stuff and sooner or later it's, you know, you're going to take a fall. And he actually did. He was picked up one time. He wasn't an American citizen. So he's picked up for a felony. And he was deported. And he's in Colombia right now. He hates it. But, you know, I just think about his life and the choices he made. And I'm going to share a little more about him and Richard. But that's Richard. I love him like a son. He's put me through, I don't know, up and down and all around. He went to prison for 18 years. He did a home invasion. Same night OJ was driving around in his Bronco. Many of you remember that. He decided. His homeboy and homegirl say, hey, we know where some money is. You get the gun. Did he call me to see if he should do it? Oh, no. Oh, no. It's crazy, you know, these homeboy and homegirl, they would buy drugs from this woman. So they knocked on her door and said, hey, we want some drugs. Richard was outside hiding behind a bush. He had a gun. They left the door unlocked, and then Richard came in with the gun. There was a woman and a child. Richard says he put the gun up in his head, in his pocket, and that was... And she said, don't worry, we want the money. We want the money. And what happened was, there was no money. Bad tip. They took him upstairs, tied them up. You know what you can catch for that? Kidnapping. Within a month, he was arrested. And he was charged armed robbery, armed kidnapping, armed burglary, all life felonies. Yeah. And it was the worst decision he ever made in his life. The best is he trusted Christ when he was poor. The worst decision he's ever made in his life was that. I saw him sentenced to 22 years. It was amazing. I'd helped him for 8 years, and I'm going, oh, Lord. I mean, I had, my eyes were full of tears constantly. And so, but I kept ministering to him. I went to visit him at several prisons, and I would get up and go. But it was hard. It was difficult. I get phone calls, and it was a difficult journey, but he's out now. He's been out about 10 years, and he's an electrician, and he's, you know, praise the Lord, he's doing well, and more or less. And I was just talking, I talked to him all the time. I talked to him last night, and he's going to the little chapel. In fact, he was going this morning. So that's Richard, and that's, again, 14, met him in juvenile. The next young fellow I'm going to share about is Angel. Angel was a young man that I met when he was 16. Well, I didn't meet him, really. I went into the juvenile and shared the gospel, and Angel made a decision when he was 16. I didn't know. When he was 24, he was going to Trinity, the university, and he told the professor, I got saved at juvenile, and when I was in the juvenile center. The professor knows me, so he says, do you remember who it was? And Angel goes, yeah, some white dude. I was that white dude that I had come in. So I got his number and we met. I'll never forget, we were driving. I didn't know what he looked like. He didn't know what I looked like. And I met him. He was 24. 8 years later, I said, what happened that day? I couldn't recall. He said, you came in and shared your story about your mother and the gospel. I made a decision. Wow. I said, this is amazing. You know, he did well, but wasn't followed up, so he still had a lot of problems in drugs and stuff. So at 20 years old, he told me at 20 years old, he decided he'd go to a Christian drug rehab for 1 year and solve this problem. It was one of the best decisions he ever made. It was trusting Christ and then that. And so when I met him, he was going to Trinity. He was getting his bachelor's, then he got his master's, he's got his mental health. It's just amazing what the Lord has done in his life. And he's working with us. He's coming into the facility of Youth for Christ and sharing his testimony with me. We go in together, and he'll share, he's so good. And he shares his story, what Christ has done in his life. And then he'll point to me and say, see that man over there, Pastor Glenn? Because he's 36 now, he said, he came in 20 years ago and shared the Lord with me. And because of that, I know the Lord. So he's doing well. I thank the Lord for him. He's married. He's got a family. And the amazing thing is, you know, I'm getting a little older. And he's bright. And so I said, hey, Angel, why don't you take leadership here and the juvenile outreach, you know. So basically, he's my supervisor now. My kid is my supervisor. It's amazing, but he's good. And so I thank the Lord for him and what the Lord has done. Again, a transformed life. He was on a road of destruction. God came in and changed his life. It's amazing. That's the gospel. The only hope for anybody is the gospel, the good news. And so I'm thankful for him. Just a few others. I remember about just recently, you know, I get phone calls from different people. And I posted recently that I had been with Youth for Christ 43 years. And there was this girl that I shared with her the gospel. And she texted me, she texted me and said, you know, Glenn, when I was 16, you shared the Lord with me. I knew I had, and I knew she had made a decision. She says, I'm thankful. She said, I'm thankful, and I'm following the Lord. And she's close to 50 years old. And my heart was just rejoiced, you know, to hear these things. And, you know, God is always working behind the scenes, and sometimes he shows you certain things, and you go, wow, you are almighty. You are great. So I just thought I would share with you how I share the gospel with these kids. And I do it every time I go in. I sort of do this. I go, okay. Basically, I share with them, we're born in this world and we're separated from God. And actually, I divide the room in half and I say, we're born into Satan's kingdom. That's it. We're not children of God. We're created by God, but not children. And we have a sinful nature. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And I share, we sin. And I sometimes give them an example. And the example is, I say, if I had a football and you had a football, we went out and I said, let's see who can reach the North Pole. Well, I know you probably throw it further than I, but neither of us would hit the North Pole. I say to them, listen, there's no way we're going to make heaven on our own. No matter how good we are, we're not going to make it. So I let them know that, yeah, sin is serious. And so then Romans 6:23, I share that. Wages of sin is death, the payment. And I let them know, and I'm still over on in the kingdom, on Satan's kingdom block. And I say, you continue ignoring God, sinning. God is keeping record of everything. And if you die, you never trust Christ, you will face him. The wages of sin is what? Death. Not any physical, but separation from God, from hell. Yes. But the good news is, and then again, I share my testimony with them about John 3:16. And I say, that's the good news. And also Romans 5:8, but God demonstrated his love towards us while we were sinners. Christ died for us. And I share with them. And I share, it's just important for you to make a decision, because the moment I said I made that decision, and then I transfer myself, and then this over here, this is God's kingdom. The moment I trusted Jesus, I was put in God's kingdom. I became a child of his. My sins were forgiven. And I tell them, that will happen to you. I tell them, I have two birthdays. They look at me like this. Oh, Sue, what's going on with you? And then I share, I was born on February 12th. And I trusted Christ in March, about March 16th, when I was 10 years old. I trusted Jesus and I had my spiritual birthday. I said, you need two birthdays. I said, the moment I trusted Christ, my reservation was made in heaven. If I died tonight, I'd go to him, be with him. I wouldn't be there bragging, hey, I went to juvie for 43 years and I've done this and this. No. I'll be there at his feet and say, thank you for dying for me on that cross. Thank you for salvation. So I share with him, and I love sharing that message. It's been a wonderful 43 years. I'm thankful for the call of the Lord, and I'm getting a little older, but I'm not retiring. I was telling Jonathan I had some health problems a few years ago, and I thought I had Parkinson's disease. I wasn't able to walk properly, and I just thought, oh Lord. And so, but I went to a neurologist, and he says, you got water on the brain. I said, well, what's going on there? He says, we're going to have to drill a hole into your skull. You like that idea? No. I said, no. Isn't that a pill or something you're going to take? No. We're going to put a shunt. I said, okay. So it was a year ago last February that I had that, and all of a sudden everything, I was walking properly and I felt so much better. So I thank God for that. So I thank God, and I got a slight problem with my heart right now. My aortic valve. My dad had problems, but they're monitoring it. But I'm feeling good, and I thank God for the energy right now. I have more energy than ever, and I want to continue serving Him. I'm 77. I can hardly believe it, And you kind of think, well, how much more time? But I say to the Lord, whatever amount of time, I want to serve you. I want to share the gospel. When I come out of the juvenile center, it's amazing. Many a time ago, I come out with a lot of joy because we've been able to share with these kids. And I didn't share, but you know, after we do share with them, if they make a decision, we always say, okay, I lead them in a prayer, and then if they make a decision, I say, okay, if you make a decision, and you don't have to make a decision every time you come in, they kind of think, well, I got to pray every time. I say one time, and then you are born again. You have and we got a birth certificate. So they come up and get the, and it's a new birth, the birth certificate. I put the date so that they will remember the date that they trusted the Lord. So it's amazing. We give them Bibles, material. We pray for them. And I got some, there's other volunteers. So we spend time with them. So it's a great time. But when we leave, you know, I just rejoicing that I've had this opportunity. And I say to the Lord, this is why I'm alive right now. Why are you alive right now? This is why I'm alive, to minister to these youth. And so I say, God, you know, just continue to use me and help me keep well. And I go to a little assembly down there. It's great. I've got some great friends. And I see the Lord working. And just want to continue build my relationship with him. So I thank you for being able to share with you. And I leave you with this little quote that I often quote. We only have a few hours to win some victories. Yeah. Victories for Jesus. But you know what? We'll have all eternity to celebrate them. So I bring you this and thank you for the time I've been able to share with you. God bless you all. I don't know if you want me to pray. Finish up? Okay, let me pray. Father God, we come before you and we just thank you for the gospel, the good news. And just, yeah, Lord, you're just amazing. We thank you that Jesus Christ died for our sins. Was resurrected the third day, that he wants a relationship. We thank you for the fact that he will forgive our sins, cleanse us, that we will be declared righteous. Just all the many blessings. We have a new identity in Christ. We have a home in heaven. It's just amazing. So we thank you for all those many things. We pray for each one here, Lord, that they'll take hold and grow in their spiritual life. If they don't know you, that they'll start a journey with you. Yeah, you are a good God, and we celebrate that the best is yet to come. In Jesus' name, amen.